Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We are located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Good Tuesday to you. Well, we're only 5 days away now from the 2023 Fun Fest and Food Fest right here at Bible Baptist Church. It's this Saturday, May the 20th. Hope you come out and see us and pay us a visit. Love to meet the radio listeners who are listen regularly to the broadcast and come up and say hello, and we'll get a hot dog or a taco or a hero or gyro, whatever they call those Greek sandwiches, and we'll have a great time together. And I hope you can make it out on Saturday. It's all free of charge. Just come, enjoy it, and bring your children, grandchildren, and we'd love to have you be our guest this coming Saturday, noon to 3, right here at Bible Baptist Church. And then if your Bible's nearby, I wanted you to pick up Galatians chapter 6. We looked at verse number 9 yesterday. In fact, we covered some other verses, and I hope you can go back and pick that broadcast up. This is the second part of that, and I'll try to catch up a little bit. But verse 9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And so we started talking about how it's so easy to get weary in well-doing. If it wasn't a problem, the Lord wouldn't have to address it. But he did. Here in Galatians 6, 9, and also in 2 Thessalonians 3, "Be not weary in well-doing." And so we know that even though we're doing well, we can get weary. We can get tired. And how can we not get weary then? How can we avoid that? Well, we said yesterday, don't be desiring recognition. Vainglory. That's chapter 5 and verse 26. Don't desire vainglory. Don't desire recognition. Don't desire attention. Just serve the Lord and don't compare yourselves with others. Then we talked about number 2, be involved in restoration. That's verse 1 of chapter 6. We talked yesterday about how we make disciples. That's evangelism. We mark disciples. That's by baptism. We mature disciples. That's discipleship. And then we're to mend disciples. That's restoration. And we have to be involved with helping to restore those who stumble, restore those who fall. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. And then we got yesterday, just as time ran out for us, the number 3, being mindful of reaping. Notice what it says in chapter 6 and verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." You ever hear of something called jogging in a jug? Jogging in a jug is a concoction of 4 parts grape juice, 4 parts apple juice, and 1 part apple cider vinegar. I don't know. Some folks say it's delicious, but it's a folk remedy for high cholesterol. It's a kind of Drano for your arteries. Supposedly, 2 ounces a day of this stuff, and your insides will be slick and clean as a whistle. Now, I don't know if that works or not. I don't know if it's been scientifically proven or anything, except you make kind of an awful face when you drink it. But wouldn't it be great if that worked? I mean, the name is interesting, isn't it? Jogging in a jug. Isn't that something? Wouldn't it be something if you could get all the benefits of running, jogging, without actually having to exercise? Always trying to come up with a pill for that, are they not? Or something you can drink? You can lower your cholesterol and improve your health without having to put on your shoes and go out and run or exercise or put any effort into it. You can just drink it. No getting up before dawn to go to the gym, or no hours of pain on any exercise equipment. Just a shot, just a short few ounces of the apple cider vinegar and the apple juice and the grape juice, and you're good to go. Get past the donuts, please. Well, listen, how about this? If you eat the wrong food, if you just eat a bunch of junk food, you're going to get fat. All right. But now there's something called Olestra. It's a fat substitute. In other words, they say you can eat these potato chips and ice cream to your heart's content and won't raise your cholesterol. Over the years, we get all kinds of artificial sweeteners. There's all kinds of things that take the place of sugar and drink all the soda you want and think that won't rot your teeth or expand your middle. But if you do eat something, you shouldn't. If you eat something with fat or calories, you don't have to go to the gym. No, that huffing and puffing stuff, that's old-fashioned. You just make an appointment with your local liposuctionist, and for a couple $1,000s, you'll suck that fat right out of you. In short, you know what people are trying to do? They're trying to bypass the law of sowing and reaping. But there is always a connection between action and consequence. You can't sever that connection. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And it's not just eating and drinking, but it's every area of life. It's a universal urge that we have. We want to enjoy the benefits without paying the price. And my friend, it doesn't work that way. Now let me give you some thoughts about sowing and reaping. Number one is we reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. Whatever somebody sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's the law of nature. What we sow is what we reap. Paul is saying here, if we don't grow weary, but continue to sow, the right seed will reap the right harvest. Not that nobody earns salvation by good works, but he's saying your rewards in eternity are going to be determined by what kind of sowing you do now, what kind of materials you're putting into your building. The only foundation we build on is Jesus Christ, sowing and reaping, deeds and consequences. Let me ask you a question. What are you sowing in your life right now? Today, May 16th, 2023. How did you spend your day yesterday? Are you giving any thought as to what you're going to harvest from the seeds you're planting right now? Are you seeking to please God? Are you sowing seeds of obedience and service? Are you sowing seeds of sin that's going to produce shame when Christ returns? You see, our words and our actions and our decisions are more significant than we can possibly know. What are you sowing in your children's lives? What are you teaching them? Are you teaching them? What kind of example are you setting? Are you preparing them to walk with Christ and to love the Lord with all their heart? What are you sowing in your spiritual life? Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying, spending time in prayer with God? Are you cultivating a relationship with God? Are you neglecting your spiritual life? What kind of harvest are you expecting? Are you sowing seeds to produce a strong faith? Are you sowing seeds that will produce joy and peace in your heart? You're only going to reap what you sow. What are you sowing in your relationship to your spouse? Are you sowing criticism? Are you sowing neglect? Are you sowing disapproval? You shouldn't be surprised then if the harvest you get back is thorns and thistles. If you're seeking, you say, I just wish my spouse would be more encouraging and more loving and give more praise and attention. Well, then why don't you sow some of that? Why don't you sow that in their life? And when you sow it, you'll reap it. What about relationship with others? Are you sowing peace? Are you sowing discord? What do you fill your mind with? How are you spending your time? How are you spending your money? What kind of seed are you planting in those areas? What kind of fruit are you expecting? You say, well, I don't believe that, preacher. Well, you can believe it or not believe it, but the Bible says God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow. But the second thought to consider here is you will reap more than you sow. The harvest is always greater than the seed that's planted. If that's not the case, no farmer would ever plant a thing. But the farmer who sows the seed has expectation to reap a ratio of more than just 1-to-1. He definitely intends to reap more than he has sown. You remember the parable of the sower? The seed that fell into the good ground, remember? Some brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And so you always are going to reap more than you sow. You reap what you sow. You reap more than what you sow. We reap in a different season than we sow. We reap in a different season than we sow. What do we see? Paul thought it necessary to caution us against becoming weary. He spoke about, in due season you shall reap if you faint not. You see, we have to, that's talking about the harvest coming at the proper time. The harvest doesn't come when we expect it or when we desire it. The harvest sometimes may take months or years or decades. Sometimes your children, you may say something that you forgot, but it sticks with them for years. And they never forget it. and you don't ever remember saying it. Sowing. And you will reap in a different season than you sow. Sometimes the harvest may come too late for us to see it. Sometimes we're unaware of who we've influenced. The fruit appears when we're not around to see it. In some cases, the harvest may not come in our lifetime at all. Our reward will be hearing the Lord Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Do you understand? Nothing good grows overnight. We have to exercise patience for the time between planting and reaping. No harvest comes the moment the seed's planted. You wait for God's appointed time, and nothing good grows overnight. The farmer has to be patient in order to see the fruit of his labors, and it suggests a length of time. And so don't get impatient. Don't try to get the harvest before it's ripe. Respect the time between sowing and reaping. Now, while the Bible says in verse 9, "For in due season we shall reap if we faint not," it will come. Don't get tired. No, what do we do in the meantime? Verse 10, "As you have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So while we have opportunity, let's do good to everybody, but especially those who are of the household of faith. Opportunities to do good will one day be seen as the most important moments of this life. Opportunities for reward. Opportunities possibly, as the book of Hebrews tells us, to entertain angels unawares. Opportunities, as the Lord Jesus said, to minister to Jesus himself, "For doing it as one as you've done it on the least of these, you've done it unto me." Well, let's not be weary in well-doing. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. How can we not be weary? Don't desire recognition. Don't desire to do that. Don't try to get vain glory. Be involved in restoration. Restore others. Make it a ministry to help those who've fallen. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Bear their burden. Help carry their load. And be mindful of sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow. You'll reap more than you sow. And you'll reap in a different season than when you sow. Let's not be weary in well-doing. Well, I hope you'll stay at it today, and we'll keep our hand to the plow, as the Lord said, and we'll go forward. That's our theme this year, is forward for Christ, and we're going forward. We're going to keep pressing on the upward way, new heights we're gaining every day, still praying as we're onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And we're going to move forward for the Lord. Hope you move forward for him today as well. Now, let me remind you, you can pick up the broadcast on podcast, both on iTunes and iHeartRadio. Just type in Bible Baptist Church, Words to Encourage. And also on our website, you can listen to past radio broadcasts as well. We have a daily email of encouragement that comes to you in your inbox. You can sign up for that at our website as well. And I hope you'll take advantage of that. And there's a link there for our past services. If you'd like to watch some of the services from Sunday or Wednesday, we invite you to do that also from the website. All right. Thanks so much for listening to Words to Encourage Radio, and I'll look forward to being with you on our broadcast tomorrow. Until then, this is Brother Slateball reminding you, be good to everyone, because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with a smile, a bright sunny smile.